You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to church. I'm excited to be here. Pastor Jesse and his family continue their excursion into the northern woods of Wisconsin, or they're rounding it out, actually. Yeah, everybody needs a vacation, right? So that's where they are. So you got me today, amen? Good. I usually start with a story. Is it okay if I tell you a story today? Is that okay if I tell you a story? Good. So usually my stories revolve around my family or around our house. We recently moved, and we've been in our house now for 2 months. Is that right? Where are you, baby? 2.5 months? Some way, time flies, right? So 2.5 months-ish we've been in our house. And a few weeks into being into our house, I realized something incredible. You know, you move into a house, and you start to find out all kinds of things about it, right? Just like you're getting to know somebody. You find out all kinds of quirks. You learn stuff. Sometimes it's like a treasure hunt. And in this house, a few weeks in, I realized, to great surprise, that I was the proud owner of a cat. Come on. That's what the crazy cat people do when you say the word cat. Yeah? So here's how I knew this, because I came home one day, and we have this garden. There's the garage. We have this garden that's kind of by the garage. I'm walking up, and in the middle of the garden, I see this thing move. And I look closer, and in the middle of the garden, literally just like hanging out, laying down, is Garfield. And I mean it. It's like the fattest orange cat you've ever seen in your life. This cat does not miss many meals. It's laying right there in the garden. I think, oh, that's interesting. Here's this transient cat. Except for like the next day, when I wake up in the morning, I look outside, we have this front porch, and there's the cat laying on the porch. And I keep coming home and I keep seeing this cat. Sometimes one day I woke up for work and I walk out, we have a detached garage, I walk out to my truck, and it was as if the cat was upset at me because I had disturbed it so early in the morning. Like, it woke up and it started to walk off. The only thing that was more interesting than this, to find out that you own a cat, is that I don't really own a cat. I own 3 of them. Because what I've discovered over time is, not only is there Garfield, Garfield has this big black and white friend who comes and hangs out, and another cat that's kind of like black and gray. And these cats literally just hang out. They don't want my food. They certainly don't want to, like, they're fine, but they walk right past you. They don't need to, like, cats are weird to me. I'm a dog person, right? A dog comes up, the dog wants love. You guys over here aren't convinced. These cats, like, walk by, like, they're pleased to be there. They're just letting me know, hey, this is my house too. They don't want food. They don't want attention. They don't want anything. But it's 3 of them. And the only thing that's cool about this to me is that, and I guess this is sort of a way to entry into my message, sometimes things are better with more, yeah? Sometimes, what's better than one? I'm not a cat person, but what's better than one cat? 3 cats, right? There's 2 kind of people in this world. I'll tell you that joke after. If you want to hear that joke, come find me afterwards. I'm not going to say that one from the stage. Oh, come on. Nah. Nah. But today the sermon is about community. It's about people coming together. It's about there being more than one. I guess cats have a community too, right? They have a community in my garden. But that's what the sermon is about today. And it's really interesting. This is kind of near and dear to my heart because I lead all of the Connect groups at Eternity Church. I've seen some amazing things happen. Pastor Jesse talked about Connect groups last week, about how, you know, as we grow as a church, we're growing our Connect groups. And so today I want to take a few minutes and speak to you about community. And there's something interesting when you open up your Bible and you kind of read about the early church and about how they met and about how they gathered. I've always thought it was an exciting, quick glimpse into what the faith and community were like in the early days of Christianity. Because it doesn't take very long as you read through the Paul's letters, you start seeing a couple things. Like in Romans 16, 4, 5, Paul's sharing a greeting, and he makes it a point to say, greet also the church that meets in their house. In Philemon 1, 2, Paul, he's also greeting at this point too. He's greeting the receiver of the letter, and he makes a specific reference to the church that meets in your house. In 1 Corinthians 16, 19, in his final greeting of the letter, he says, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets in their house. There's something interesting about that idea of church outside of, like, church, because we have Sunday church, right? But there's something interesting about that idea of the church being elsewhere. It's logical, but we think of church as Sunday, yeah? But the reality is we carry it with us wherever we go, yes? I want to tell you the story about our Connect group. Is that okay? I've been in several Connect groups, but on a cold winter day about a year and a half ago, 10 people gathered in our house. They gathered in our house because we had asked them to be there. I was leading Connect groups. We had about 12 Connect groups at the time. Christy and I decided, you know what, we're gonna lead a Connect group. Because if you're leading the Connect groups in a church, you should probably know how a Connect group works, yeah? We'd been in Connect groups before. We decided to start a Connect group, and here's how we decided we were gonna do it. We said, God, lay on our hearts names of people that you want us to invite. And it was cool because we were both kind of prompted towards certain people. We asked people, and the interesting thing that blew my mind is that they all said yes. You know, like, everybody likes getting picked, right? And so some people we knew really well, some people we knew kind of well, some people we didn't really know at all, but they all said yes, and they all gathered with us at our house. And so there we were. On a Tuesday night, we were all gathered around the table, minus one. We were all gathered around the table, and we were eating. We decided to serve a meal. And so we're sitting there, we're getting into the meal, and to prompt conversation, I ask a question. I say, you know what, I know why Christy and I both know why everybody's here. We're here because we asked you. But from your perspective, why are you here? And one by one, they ran around the table. And the answers essentially went something like this. Are you ready? One by one, almost to a T. I really don't know why I'm here. I'm not really comfortable in small group settings. I'm not really comfortable in talking in these scenarios, and I might even get kind of nervous. I'm skeptical about whether or not small groups even actually work. I've been hurt in these scenarios before, and so I have trust issues. The subtext there was, I don't even know if I trust you, buddy. That's how I heard it. I'm not even sure that I really want to be here. I'm not even sure that I'm going to be back next week. My spouse who couldn't make it this week, I don't know if he's going to want to come back. Could you please pass the potatoes? Essentially, that's what it was like. And so it got back around to me after hearing all of that. And I thought to myself, awesome. We just cut straight through all the facade, and now we're just here. And it was incredible. I couldn't have asked for anything more than that. And that was a year and a half ago, and I'm happy to report that that Connect group still meets and is still going strong. In fact, it's been kind of a crazy year for Christy and I, especially over the past couple of months, so our attendance has been sporadic at best, between us moving, having obligations here on Tuesday nights, and the group meets often, actually, in spite of us. But that same group that had all of those answers a year and a half ago now can't seem to stop talking to each other. I know this because we have group text. And I set that phone down for an hour sometimes, and I come back and there's 87,000 text messages. And sometimes they're sharing funny stories from their day. Sometimes they're sharing a fun video or a picture. Sometimes they're saying, I need prayer for this right now. Sometimes they're saying, you know what, my neighbor or this person that I know, can you please lift them up in prayer? But it's happening. First and foremost, it's connection. It's connection literally in action. But it's not unique just to mine. So 12 Connect Groups about a year and a half ago, we're going to be on the cusp of about 27 as we get into September. Here are the stories that I hear from our current Connect Groups. These are actual things that I've heard from the other Connect Groups that meet all around the metropolitan area, literally all around Des Moines. It goes something like this. Honestly, I don't know where we would be right now if we didn't have this group of people to connect with. We've been through so much together as a group and have been able to walk with each other through the darkest of times and the brightest of times. But it's seriously just a blast to hang out with these people. Or this one was good. And then out of nowhere, the quiet person that hasn't said anything in years suddenly says something, and it's amazing, like a nuclear truth bomb. It took them forever to talk, but obviously when they did, they felt like it was a safe place. I didn't think it was possible to make connections in a group, but I was wrong. This group changed everything for me. On Sundays, we have a pretty incredible thing that happens as we gather, right? We gather as a group of people. There's several hundred people that come here on a Sunday. And there's something really cool that happens. The worship happens and it's off the hook. People respond to the message. God awakens people's hearts through the power that comes through the word, right? People hang out with each other. Sometimes it's like impossible to kick y'all out after service, especially third service, man. They'd stay here till midnight. But it's fantastic. It's absolutely incredible that happens here on Sunday. But your Connect group is the first to show up in the hospital when you had to go in for an emergency. And they're the ones that are going to make sure that when you get home, you have meals in your refrigerator. Your Connect group are the first people you call when you need prayer for a major decision that you're on the cusp of. Your Connect group are the ones who will watch your kids when nobody else will. Your Connect group see Jesus living in you, and they remind you of who you truly are and what you're truly capable of, even when you can't see it. When you walk through the doors of this church and above the foyer, what are the words that you see up there in big letters? It says, "Welcome home." And throwing the and people who've been here for years like I have can attest to this. But throwing the doors open and welcoming anyone and everyone who walks through the doors has always been a hallmark calling card of this church. I've been here long enough to know that, and I've seen it for many years. The culture of honest hospitality has always been in our DNA, and it's one of the things that endears people to our church the most. They feel as though they're welcome. They feel as though they're safe. They feel like when they walk through the doors, people want them to be here. And it's not any different in our Connect groups. It's the same. I believe that spirit of love that I just described is written into our hearts as Christians. It's how the very first Christians behaved. In 1 Thessalonians, we read Paul's words to the local church in the area. This is chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 6. It says this: "We're not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." That's something incredible. We were interested in sharing with you our lives as well. You see, when you come into a connector, just like in the church, everybody comes from a different background here, right? Different culture, different place that they grew up, different economic backgrounds. There's a lot of diversity here. And in church and in a big setting, it's kind of easy to do that because there's a lot of us. But our Connect groups often look the same. People from varying backgrounds coming together. And there's one common thing. Jesus is like the campfire that everybody can come around. Everybody can have this one thing in common. that no matter what the differences are, no matter what's going on, no matter how everything is just going crazy in the entire world, there's this one common thing that's a common experience that can be common in everybody's life that they can talk about, that they can share an experience. So, okay, Jed, well, what do connect groups then really truly look like at Eternity Church? I'm really glad you asked, because I have an answer. A connect group is simply a group of people who meet regularly for relationship, fellowship, and prayer. They meet in people's homes, in coffee houses, on lunch breaks, before work, in the evening. Some of them meet and study the Bible. Some of them meet and primarily focus on prayer. Some of them primarily focus on fellowship. Some of them worship together. Some of them focus primarily on activities that they just enjoy doing commonly together. Because the possibilities are endless. How many of you like to fish? Put your hands up. How many of you like to fish? How cool would it be if every other week, four or five of you got together and you threw some lines in the pond and you fished together. And afterwards, you just prayed together for a little bit and then you went on about your day or you went home for the day. How cool would that be? Like, if you're ice fishing, you're crazy. But if it means you're going to connect, I encourage it. But how awesome would that be if that occurred, if that was a regular occurrence in your life? How many of you like to play sports or ride your bike or run? Well, we don't have a very active first service here. How many of you like to eat fast food? I'm going to catch everybody at some point here. But how often or how awesome would it be if, like, every Wednesday or Thursday morning before work, you knew that you could count on a group that was going to get together and they're going to go run a few miles, or they're going to go bike, or they're going to go play racquetball, or they're going to go play basketball or something, and encourage each other before they went through the day? How cool would it be if you had that in your life? Who likes to sew? Anybody like to sew? That's another great example. Several people here. How cool would it be if you got together? Come on now. How cool would it be if you liked to sew, if several of you got together and you just sat around and talked about what God was doing in your life and you sewed and then you went on about your day? Would that be awesome? How many of you are empty nesters? What if you're an empty nester and you just want to get together with people who are experiencing this same thing, where all of a sudden you're faced with this reality of redreaming life again a little bit? How cool would it be if there was some folks just like you that you could connect with? Or if you just got out of school and you just, all you want is desperately just to dive into God's word and understand it and have it impact your life. You just want to know. Or take it a step further. How many of you are empty nesters, but you just have this desire to pour into young people? And how many of you are young people and you're just like, man, I just wish I had a mentor? What if you could connect in a connect group? By the way, that mentorship thing is absolutely huge. And those of you who are in your teens and in your 20s and your 30s, you best be looking for people that can pour into you. And those of you who are in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, do not miss this grand opportunity in your life to set everything else aside and look somebody in the eye and say, I believe in you. I want to teach you something about the world, not about myself, not about my opinions. I want to teach you something because I've learned a thing or two. Okay? That's a side note. That one's for free. It wasn't in the sermon. But how cool would it be if something like that existed and you could have that on a regular basis? What's your thing? Is it music? Is it disc golf? Is it makeup? Is it short story writing? Is it working on cars? How cool would it be if you had three or four people that every couple weeks just got together and tinkered on a car in the garage and you just talked about what God was doing? I'm covering a lot of bases here. Yeah? Or you got together and you love to cook, so you tried a bunch of recipes on a Saturday morning and you just had this amazing stuff. And then you invited Pastor Jed over to try it all. Like, that's probably my favorite one. Is it really that easy? Is it possible that it could really be that easy? And is that really actually enough? Yes. Here's the thing, because I'm talking about getting together and having fellowship and praying and having community. I'm praying that God would stir a hunger in the hearts of many for biblical study and for teaching and for prayer and for life change. Let's create fertile ground for that to happen. Yeah.
And let's not ignore our interests and our dreams and the things that God have put in our lives and run away from them, thinking that they're not of him, but instead connect around them and make Jesus the common thing. And then he starts speaking into our lives. And then all of a sudden, not only are our lives being impacted, but 4 or 5 people's lives are being impacted. And then our friends and our neighbors say, man, what's going on there? Because there's something cool happening. Yeah, do you want to come over and hang out? Because it's really cool as we tinker with these cars because we love them, but I love Jesus. Is it really that simple? Yeah, I think it is. Matthew 18:20 says, for where 2 or 3 gather in my name, I am with them. I am there on the racquetball court, tinkering on cars, throwing the lines in the pond when you can't catch any fish or when you're freezing your tail off because it's January and you're silly. I am there with them. I was thinking about the early followers of Jesus right after Jesus died and he ascended to the Father. If you remember the story from the book of Acts, Jesus instructed his followers to remain in Jerusalem and to wait for the Holy Spirit. Eventually, there were about 120 of them. I like to think about this period of time because I'm a sucker for beginnings. I love beginnings. It's that amazing, precious compilation of moments where something amazing is starting to happen, but it hasn't truly yet bubbled to the surface. And I think about those 120, and after the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, just as Jesus had promised, later in that chapter, we read that we read that familiar section of Scripture that talks about them gathering and gathering around teaching and fellowship and prayer and sharing everything and having everything in common. We read that's a familiar Scripture to us that happens after the fact. But what did it look like in those days immediately following Jesus' resurrection, but before the Holy Spirit came? I venture to guess it was an interesting time for those 120. I venture to guess it was a challenging time because the hope of the world that they walked alongside or that they knew had just died and had risen. And yes, he promised that incredible things were going to happen, that the Holy Spirit was going to come, but it hadn't happened yet. And so they were there waiting. And I would venture to guess as they gathered, there was a deep need for them to be an encouragement to each other. A deep need for them to be there for one another and say, no, don't you remember? Don't you remember who you are? Don't you remember what he said? Don't you remember where we're going? That's one of the many reasons God wants us to exist in community with each other, so we can be an encouragement to each other, so we can build each other up. There's something incredible that happens when a group of believers meets regularly and encourages each other. You can go off to work feeling like you're on cloud 9. You can go back home feeling refreshed. And sometimes you just need somebody to speak into your life who can remind you of who you truly are as a son or a daughter of the Most High, especially when for whatever reason, whatever's going on in life, you just can't seem to see it. The writer of Hebrews says this in chapter 3, starting in verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I love that. Like, as long as it's called today. Like, how often? Daily. Like, every day. Like, this is the original. Yeah, any day that ends in Y, that's the day. Encourage people around you. And often we talk of church, when we only think of the walls and the meetings on Sunday. And yes, that's a part of church. And yes, we have something incredible here. But folks, this stuff that we're talking about right now, this is church. This is church. I've heard it said that the hope of the world exists in the local church. I think that's true, but when I hear that, I don't necessarily think about this place. I think about all of you who are going out into your weeks doing whatever you're doing. I think about whatever it is that you're doing during the week. If Christ lives in you, you literally carry with you the hope of the world wherever you go. I want you all to be in a connect group. Like, eyes right here. Like, I want you all to be in a connect group. Every one of you. Every single one of you. Not just to say that we have a bunch of connect groups, but because I think your lives can be enriched by it. And oh, by the way, wait for it, because somebody else's life can be enriched because you're there. Because he gives us works in advance for us to do. And sometimes there's an opportunity that comes literally where it's just the person right next to us. That's the work to do. I think we can find a connect group for everyone here. Like, I'm just putting myself out on the line. I think we can find a connect group for everybody that's sitting here right now. Does that mean we currently have a group that's a perfect fit for you? Likely not. But I believe we can put something together. I believe we can put something together, and I believe you can experience this. But in order to do that, we have to know who you are. We have to know that you want to join a connect group. We have to know who you are sitting there in your seat right now saying, yes, yes, Jed, that's good. Yes, yes, I want to do this. We have to know who you are. And this, my friends, is where the handy-dandy little insert that maybe some of you are sitting on, but that was at each of your chairs, comes into play. You can look around. So right where you sat, there's a little card. It's got the Connect Group logo on it. Yeah, it looks like this. Thank you, John. Looks like that. It's right there. On the back of it, I want to attend an Eternity Connect Group. Name, phone, email. Don't let this moment, we're going to, like, right now, if you want to be in a Connect Group, we're going to get you in a Connect Group right now. Like, right now. I'm passionate about this. I know there's folks out there that desperately want to be in one. This is your moment. I know you probably don't have a pin. Oh, it's okay, because the ushers have a bazillion pins back there, and they're just chomping at the bit to put one in your hands, because I told them to. In fact, raise your hand if you don't have a pin. Raise your hand if you need one. They'll come around and give you one. Yeah, there's some folks right over here. They need a pin. Some folks over here. They need a pin. If this is your moment to sign up for it, you're not opting anything other than saying, yeah, I want to be in a connect group and I want to explore this, Jed. You sign this, and we're going to pass the bucket just like we did for the offering, and you can put those in there. You can put those in there, and then we're going to connect with you next week. Personally, I am. I'm going to connect with you, and we're going to talk about you joining a connect group. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this moment pass you by. Keep hanging on to them, because I'm not done yet. How many of you were here last week? If you were here last week, you heard Pastor Jesse talk about the church and where we're going. He gave an update on where we've been and where we're going. As part of that, he mentioned our goal for connect groups, the number of connect groups we'd like to have. I believe fully in my heart, because he said it, but he and I had talked about it. I believe 100% there's an opportunity for 50 connect groups. I believe there's an opportunity for 50 new connect groups. I know it exists because I know y'all are here. The number of connect groups we'd like to have, it's 50. A year and a half ago, it was 12. As of this September, it's going to be about 27. That's tremendous growth. That's really good growth. Some incredible leaders have stepped up, and some amazing people have come together in fellowship with one another, but that's not enough. 27 is not enough. Honestly, we could double that right now and still not probably fully accommodate the total need of the church. When we set our sights on 50 new connect groups, I wasn't scared off by that number, because I know there's plenty of people that want to be in one. So I wasn't scared off by that number. Why was I not scared off? Because I knew it wasn't only my task. I knew it wasn't only my task to come up with 50 connect groups, Jed. Because I know that we're in a church together. Because we're called to share the good news of Jesus and to make disciples, amen? That's what all of us are called to do as followers of Jesus. And beyond that, we're created to exist in community with one another, taking care of each other, bearing each other's burdens, reminding each other of who we truly are, holy and dearly loved, fearfully and wonderfully made, created specifically with works in advance to do, because that's who we truly are, yeah? Maybe, just maybe, just maybe. Because if you're created with works in advance to do, what does that mean? Maybe it's just the person next to you that needs to hear encouragement about who they truly are. Maybe it's the person in the row right ahead of you or two rows up, or the person in second service. But Jed, I think what you're probably getting here is you're looking for people to lead connect groups. What? Yeah. Yeah. I am. But Jed, I could not possibly lead a connect group. I'm not possibly qualified. Fair enough. We'll do a quick test. Is everybody ready? Raise your hand if you love people. Raise them up high again if you love people. Raise them up. Hey, look at me now. Keep them up. Keep them up and look at me right here. You're qualified. You're qualified. If you love people, for those of you who didn't raise your hands, I really appreciate your honesty, because if you don't love people, I don't want you leading a connect group. But come see me and I bet I could convince you. If you raise your hand, you're qualified. You don't need to be a biblical scholar who prepares sermons every Tuesday night and makes a 7-course meal for the people that come. If you love people, we can equip you with the rest. I'm serious. We can equip you with the rest. But Jed, I really don't think leading is my thing, but I really, really want there to be one. Start one. Start one. God will provide leadership. I believe it. Start one. Somebody else will come in and lead that thing. In order to accommodate all the people we want to be in a connect group, there needs to be folks who desire to start a group. And some of you have felt the call to do more, the call to extend what happens here on Sunday out to the rest of the week. I know it. Just this week, in fact, I got a call from a gentleman who said, I heard Pastor Jesse talking about 50 connect groups last week. And man, I just tell you what, I felt convicted and I want to start one downtown. Can I start? Yes. Yes, you can. Who's going to be in? I don't know yet, but I know there's a need. I'm going to start one. Amen. Amen. Let me just say right now that I know how you feel if you're apprehensive about it. But let's go on this journey together. Let's explore what's on your heart together. Let us come alongside you and walk with you to explore what an opportunity to start a connect group would look like. We'll give you everything that you need. And I believe there's power in moments. The cool part is that we made it easy for you. If you look at the card right next to the word attend, there's another word. It says lead. Even if you just want to start one, even if you just want to come alongside what we're doing and say, yeah, I'm in. Even if there's just something in you that says, you know, I don't think I'm the person to lead it, but I want there to be one, and I don't even know if I could, but could you just talk with me about it? Check lead. The Holy Spirit seems to delight and thrive in moments just like these. I'd like everyone to take out the Connect Group card insert right now. Hold it up so I can make sure you all have it. That way I know who I'll have it. Some of you are looking at me like, I'm not going to do it. I'm kind of sort of smiling there because you're looking at me, but I'm not going to do it. Hold them up. If you'd like to join a group, please check the attend box and fill out your name and contact info right now. Right now. If you need a pen right now, we're going to bring them around. Fill it out right now. If you'd like to lead a connect group, check lead right now. If you don't have a pen, again, we're going to bring them to you. Jed, I don't like pens, and I'm not for paper because it hurts trees. Fine. Do you have a phone? Cool. Because here's what we'd like you to do then. I would like you to text the word attend to 25827. We're going to put it right up here to attend a connect group. We'll get shown right now. You text it right now. In fact, you're going to get an immediate response. Some of you are leaders are like, yeah, but I don't have anything. Fine. We have another one that says, if you want to lead a connect group, text LEAD to 25827 to start one. I feel like God has called us to impact this city, folks. I feel like God has called us to impact this city in an incredible way. The world is just starving to know who they truly are. They're starving for love. Let's go out and change the city. Let's go out and make something incredible happen. Ushers, come. I want you to pass around the, we're going to pass around. Yep, so just pass the buckets like you would. I think John's got them back there. Pass the buckets like you would for offering. Go ahead and start it. This is so everybody who, like, you know that they raise their hand, but then they don't put it in the bucket, like the person next to me, like, wait a minute, you raised your hand. I don't know. We're just going to pass them around. I'm going to fill up the buckets. I'm going to connect with you this week if you want to attend a connect group, and we're going to dialogue about what connect group either currently looks like that could fit you in, or we're going to find one for you. If you want to lead or start a connect group, I'm going to connect with you this week. And we got to make this sucker happen because I go on vacation Thursday. And we're not in the office Monday. And I'm going to connect with you this week, and we're going to figure out what this looks like.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.